This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you very much, Randy, and Ag News here to start off your Wednesday morning and a brand new year. We'll take a look back at the year of 2019 as it was in agriculture, and farmers and others in the agricultural business world spent a lot of time last year just waiting for things to happen. Gary Crawford takes a look back at the last year in this edition of Agriculture USA.
Looking over the thousands of news stories that we at USDA Radio filed during 2019, one theme seems to run through the whole lot of them, and that theme captured by this 1981 Tom Petty song. And in 2019, there was a lot of waiting on a lot of things. First, you have to go back to December 20th of 2018.
It's my great honor to sign the Farm Bill.
And everybody was chomping at the bit to begin implementing the scores of Farm Bill programs in it, but a lot of that would have to wait because the government closed down for 35 days, putting new meaning to the word wait. And finally, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue told reporters on January 28th.
I'm hopeful we're up to full speed this morning.
Full speed, but playing catch up. While the nation's farmers waited for the rules and regs of all the various Farm Bill programs to be published and waited to be able to sign up for them, they also were waiting for log jams to break up on the trade front. We already had a major U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement ready to go.
But we've been waiting for Congress to take action on that for almost a whole year now.
Finally, just a few days ago, the House of Representatives ratified this USMCA, but we're still waiting for the Senate to do the same thing. And that, according to Rob Johansson, chief economist for USDA, is supposed to happen in the next few weeks. The big wait in 2019 seemed to be some sort of an agreement with China, an agreement that would lift China's tariffs on many U.S. agricultural products, tariffs that had cut U.S. exports to China drastically, making it necessary for the USDA to create another trade aid package to help make up to farmers what they had been losing in sales to China. All through 2019, the news on the China trade talks wavered from
"It's going extremely well"
to very guarded optimism. And then there would be news of a deal being close and then not so close. Then in the spring, as Rob Johansson put it,
"China looked like they were coming to the table with some good offers, but then the last minute in March sort of pulled away from those negotiations."
But that wasn't the only negative thing that happened in March for farmers in Nebraska and Iowa particularly. Massive flooding, which one USDA official on the scene described as
catastrophic,
or as one farmer whose livestock were wiped out put it,
"This whole place it's gut-wrenching to see."
And then came April.
We had very cool and very wet weather across the Dakotas, across the top of Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio that prevented farmers from getting in their fields to plant.
And the wait spilled over into harvest time with continued cold, wet weather that had producers waiting for field conditions to be good enough to support harvesting equipment. And reportedly, there's corn still out there, still waiting to be brought in.
In the middle of all of this uncertainty, producers were still really concerned with financial conditions out there.
Rob Johansson says U.S. net farm income in 2019 will likely be actually up from 2018 by about 10% or $8.5 billion at $92.5 billion, but not because of income from crops and livestock sales. He says if you take away the trade assistance payments and the crop insurance indemnities and disaster payments, then
you actually saw a decline in farm income by about 6%.
So what about this new year? USDA will not make an income forecast until February, but as far as the waiting aspect of it,
I would say that producers are going to have less waiting for two reasons.
One, because of trade. He says maybe even by the time you hear this, there could be a U.S.-China trade agreement. The Senate is likely to send the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade deal to the president to sign very soon. The new U.S.-Japan deal is set to start operating early 2020. Also in the new year,
we wouldn't expect to have the kind of wet spring, cold conditions that we had last year.
Well, let's hope not. This has been Agriculture USA. I'm Gary Crawford, reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington. Have a better new year.
And although 2019 will be remembered as one of the toughest years in recent memory for American agriculture, there were many bright spots too, according to Dale Moore, executive vice president with the American Farm Bureau.
Seeing the waters of the U.S. rule get rolled backwards and the new clean water rule moving forward, we saw the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement pass the House. We saw a Japanese government come together with the United States and come up with a new agreement that puts us back in the game. Seeing the disaster bill coming forward and the trade mitigation payments, we welcome that extra assistance to get us through a very tough year.
And while there were victories in 2019, a long list of challenges dominated the headlines, and Moore says weather was at the top of that list.
We had rough weather getting crops in the ground. We had rough weather throughout the growing season, whether it was blizzard, late winter, spring floods, the hurricane season, the wildfires. Mother Nature has just not been cooperative. This ongoing trade war that we've had with China, some progress toward ratcheting back tariffs that have hit all of agriculture so hard here in the United States.
Moore says farmers and ranchers stepped up to help each other through some of those serious weather disasters in 2019.
Certainly the flooding in the Midwest, we had multiple state farm bureaus and others contribute to special funds to help farmers and ranchers that were hardest hit. Some of the same states that were hit with flooding were helping other states that were hit with hurricanes. Go back over the last two or three years, it's something that just makes me very proud to represent the men and women who farm and ranch in this country.
Again, Dale Moore is the executive director of the American Farm Bureau. Moving forward now into news for 2020, President Trump has now put a date on signing the Phase 1 trade deal with China, thanks to Twitter. He'll sign the deal with China on January 15th, making the agreement between the largest two economies official. The highlight of the deal that's most interesting to agriculture is China will increase its purchases of U.S. ag products in exchange for the U.S. lowering tariffs on some of its imports. The ceremony will take place at the White House, Trump says on Twitter. High-level representatives of China will be present. In addition to the ag purchases, China agreed to new commitments on intellectual property protection, forced technology transfers from U.S. companies, as well as a new currency practice. Bloomberg says the deal will calm some of the fears that the trade war between the nations would continue long term. The president also says he'll be traveling to Beijing at a later date to begin Phase 2 negotiations. The precise details of the agreement have not been released to the public yet. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer says the details will come out when it's officially signed by both countries. And in other news from China, a government body in the country has given its approved safety certificates to 203 new genetically modified crops for planting and import purposes. Official documents that came out Monday should pave the way for wider GMO adoption in the country. The Chinese Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Affairs shared three lists of new approved GMO crops, including soybeans, corn, cotton, papaya, and many others. One market source told AgriCensus.com that it might be possible that China will open up domestic planting of GMO soybeans sometime soon. China has maintained tight restrictions on using GMO crops in domestic planting in the past. However, it's been more willing to import GMO crops in recent years, including soybeans, corn, and rapeseeds. Soybeans, corn, and rapeseeds that were domestically produced within China are said to be non-GMO. Two of the newly approved crops were developed in the U.S. and were licensed for import. One of the soybeans and the other is papaya. The newly approved certificates will be valid between 3 and 5 years, depending upon the crop. Moving on now to the latest news from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The department has released a clarification on its requirements for accuracy in labeling of meat and poultry products. An AgriPulse report says the Food Safety and Inspection Service says the only way beef can be labeled as grass-fed is if they feed on grass or forage 100% of the time after they were weaned. Because cattle would then have to have access to pasture until slaughter, they can't ever be put into a feedlot. Products that come from animals with less than 100% access to grass or forage before slaughter cannot use the term grass-fed. The only way that can happen is if the label makes it clear that at least some of the animal's dietary needs came from grain. As an example, the report says an acceptable label could be made from cows that are 85% grass-fed and 15% corn-fed. The guidance that came out late last week also says certified organic products can be labeled legally as raised without antibiotics or no added hormones, with no documentation required. The farm that produced the organic livestock or poultry, as well as the processor, have to be certified organic under USDA standards. Moving right along now into State of Illinois Ag News. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources is now accepting applications through January 21st for the state's Park and Recreational Facility Construction Grant Program. The program will provide grants to eligible local governments for acquisition, development, construction, rehabilitation, or other capital improvements to park and recreational facilities in Illinois. The IDNR is anticipating that a total of $25 million in grants will be available through funding provided by the Rebuild Illinois Act. The maximum grant award is $2.5 million. The PARC grant program provides funding for bondable brick-and-mortar projects that include demolition, site preparation and improvements for indoor and outdoor recreation facilities, reconstruction, improvements and expansion to existing facilities, and new construction. Projects involving land acquisition for construction of new or expansion of existing indoor and outdoor recreation facilities and for open space and conservation purposes are also eligible. The priority of the program is the renovation or construction of indoor recreational facilities, since they are not eligible under any other IDNR grant program. The PARC grant program will reimburse grant recipients up to 75% of approved project costs. Eligible applicants are limited to units of local government that are authorized by Illinois law to expend public funding for the acquisition and development of land for public indoor or outdoor park, recreation, or conservation purposes and are eligible to apply for funding assistance. School districts, nonprofits, and private entities are not eligible. Applications must be pre-qualified by visiting grants.illinois.gov/portal to receive grants from the state of Illinois. Moving along now into local ag news, we have the latest precipitation for the month of December. For the month to date of December, there were 1.9 inches of rain. Normal for the month of December is 2.45 inches. Last year, in 2018, there were 2.8 inches of rain, so we are below normal for the month of December on rainfall. For the year-to-date for 2019, there were 49 and one-third inches of rain. Normal for a year around Illinois is 37 and one-third inches of rain, at least in Springfield, that's the normal. And last year, 2018, there were 43 and one-third inches of rain. So we were 12 inches above normal and 6 inches for 2019 over 2018. So the past 2 years have been well above normal on the rain precipitation side. Snowfall, however, for the month of December was 5 3/4 inches of snow in Springfield. Normal for a month of December is 5.5, but 2018 we only saw 1 3/4 inches of snow. For the year-to-date in 2019, since October through the end of December, there were 12 3/4 inches of snow. Normal for a period of October to December is 6 inches, but in 2018 there was 13 3/4. So again, the last 2 years have been above average on snowfall as well as rainfall around mid-Illinois. Continuing on in local ag news, we have some local ag bulletins for you. The Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders will be holding their January meeting at 7 p.m. on Thursday, January 9th, that's next Thursday, the 9th, at the Farm Bureau office in Hillsboro. Again, that meeting begins at 7 p.m. The 79th annual meeting of the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District will be taking place on Tuesday evening, January 14th, at 6 p.m. at the U of I Extension office in Hillsboro. A light dinner will be provided, catered by Milanus Catering of Hillsboro, and that will follow by a short program by Ashley Dawson, Farm Bill Biologist with Pheasants Forever. Ashley will discuss the importance of providing wildlife habitat cover and how the programs can be utilized for that purpose. Door prices will be following the meal, and you can make your reservations for the dinner by calling the office in Hillsboro at 532-3361 Extension 3 and talking to Melissa Cobble. RSVP is due by Friday, January the 10th. In other local ag bulletins, the U of I Extension will be offering the state-mandated Certified Food Protection Managers class and exam. The Illinois Department of Public Health Food Sanitation Code requires food service establishments to be under the operational supervision of a Certified Food Protection Manager during their hours of operation. The two-day course will be held from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro on January 30th and 31st. Participants are required to attend both days of class, and the exam will take place on the second day. It is also very important to please bring a photo ID with you to the class. The classes will be taught by Lisa Peterson, the nutrition and wellness educator with the U of I Extension. Pre-registration for the exam is due by Thursday, January 16th. You can register for the exam and the course by calling the Montgomery County Extension Office at 532-3941 or online at extension.illinois.edu/CJMM. Pre-registration is required because exams need to be ordered prior to the course. And finally, in the Ag Community Bulletin Board, don't forget that the Carlinville FFA alumni will be holding their biannual dinner auction at the Carlinville Elks Lodge on Saturday, January the 18th. The doors will open at the Elks Lodge at 5:30, followed by a buffet dinner at 6:30, which will consist of ribeye or chicken breast. A silent auction will be held from 5:30 until 8, followed by a live auction at 8. Tickets are available for $20 for adults. Children 12 and under are $15. Tickets are available around Carlinville at the CNB Bank and Trust or at PJ's Tire or any FFA alumni member. All proceeds from this dinner auction will be going to the Carlinville FFA chapter, which is celebrating 90 years in 2020. And that'll wrap it up for this Wednesday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have ag news for us or anything for the Ag Community Bulletin Board, that can be emailed to us at wsmi@wsmiradio.com. So for this Wednesday morning, January 1st, New Year's Day, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.